Holy Father, we thank you that you are a God who restores, renews, strengthens, that you come and touch us right where we need to be. You help us, you fix us, you cleanse us. We are a helpless people, and we thank you, Father, that you take care of us. We ask you to bless this time in this service. Bless this special day for mothers and women. And let your will be done and your Holy Spirit be filling in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Are you ready to vacate all the... Pastor Danielle has graciously said she's going to take all of the minions.
Hey, we're not
So everyone, let the chaos begin and follow Pastor Danielle. Gosh. Is it over yet? Well, God bless everybody. Good morning. Good morning, ladies. Happy Mother's Day for those who are mothers. I want to preface that because, you know, my wife gets told a lot, Happy Mother's Day on this day, and she's like, thanks, I guess. So, she's got me. Hey, the kids' church is that way, Scott. She is the church mom. You are correct. So, anyways, this is your day. So I was really struggling for a minute. You know, what do you guys want to hear? You want to hear some of the classics? You want to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus? Let's talk about Esther. What about Ruth? Let's go into Proverbs 31. You don't want to hear any of that? I know what you guys really, really want to hear from a male pastor on Mother's Day. You guys ready? You ready? Wives, submit to your own husband. No, not that one. You don't want me to do that one? Huh?
What about the verse before?
Yeah, well, maybe I shouldn't do that one because otherwise I'll have to turn in my resignation afterwards. No, but here's the deal. This is actually one of the most misunderstood, misused verses in the Bible. And we'll get to that in a minute. But, ladies, the reality is this is where I want to start. Then God said, let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him, them. So here's the deal. This is where I wanted to start off with. This is the New King James Version. Now, it's the version that I use the most. It's the Bible that I have the most. And I want to preface something. There's no real particular reason. There's a lot of places that are like, I'm not a King James only kind of guy or a particular version kind of guy. This is just what I use. But the problem is, with New King James and King James, sometimes it can be a bit confusing. So passages like this, it says, let's create man in our image, male and female, he created them. It can be confusing because it's like, well, you already talked about men. Why are you saying that they created men, male and female? So again, this term is for the entire human race. The term man is generally used and was actually first used to describe mankind. Here's an easier version of this. In the New Living Translation, Genesis 1, 26 through 27 again. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals of the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. The reason why I wanted to start there is I've heard of this documentary that was like, it goes, what is a woman? Which, the fact that it's 2024 and we're still asking that question. But there's all kinds of controversy and arguments about women and women's roles and traditions and pointing everything out. But here's the deal. This is why I wanted to start off with. No matter what anyone else has said, no matter what other tradition has been told, no matter what you have been told even growing up, remember, you are made in the image of the living God. You are. And the beautiful thing about this is God hand-make you. He hand-made all of you. Every other creature in Genesis, God spoke into existence. Look at Genesis 1:24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and so it was. But with humanity, God didn't speak us into existence. He took his time and formed us. He made us. And normally we equate this with Adam because look at chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. But then we forget sometimes because what happens is God brings Adam in, he has him name all the animals, and he sees that there's no one comparable to Adam. And so, he decides to do something about it. And again, God didn't say, and then let there be woman, and poof, there you were. Once again, God took his time. Genesis 2:21 through 23. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Here's what a commentary says. God used Adam's own body to create Eve, to forever remind him of their essential oneness. As Adam came to know Eve, he would see many ways that they were different, but he must never forget they are essentially one and that they are made of the same substance. They are more alike than they are different. So again, I point this out because I want to make sure you guys understand your origin and your worth doesn't come from your father, doesn't come from your husband, doesn't come from being a mother, and it doesn't come from being a strong, independent woman that don't need no man. Your worth and your origin comes from the fact that God created you in his image. He formed you, he molded you, and he loved you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. You are the same as David says of himself in Psalm 139. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So, ladies, God formed you and he saved you, and the same Holy Spirit lives in you as much as any other man out there. You have the same Holy Spirit. If you are a follower of Jesus, it doesn't matter your gender, which means that God the Holy Spirit has given you as much responsibility, gifts, and abilities as any man out there. This is something that was always meant to be. It wasn't like God said, oh, forgot about women, I guess I better give them something to do. This was actually prophesied in Joel 2:28. And it shall Don't judge me. I forgot to press buttons. Go back. There it is. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. This was, of course, fulfilled, as you saw before, Acts 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. One sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Now, it's interesting to me because there's other religions and there's other traditions that do, in fact, put certain limits on women. I know it's a shock. I'm just saying. But here's the thing. I go back to this, and I have to ask, who were the people in the upper room then? Who were the ones that were initially filled with the Holy Spirit? I mean, it says everyone in this particular upper room were filled with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and had tongues of fire appear before them, and they all spoke in tongues. Who were they? As we see in Acts chapter 1, and they had entered there, they came up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, Judas the son of James. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but when I'm reading this, Jesus didn't say to everyone in the upper room, okay, Holy Spirit's about to come. You're about to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Ladies, you're going to have to leave. Close the door behind you and wait till this is not for you. This is only for the men. I read nowhere where it says that. It says everyone within that room, men and women, were indwelled and gifted with the Holy Spirit. It includes the women. All 120 of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what does it say? What does Jesus say the Holy Spirit does when you are indwelt with the Holy, when you are indwelt with him? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the world. So again, ladies, you're included in these gifts and powers of the Holy Spirit. I don't read anywhere in Scripture that differentiates women from any other type of gifting of the Holy Spirit. Everyone in that upper room was filled with power and authority and to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, and women were never excluded from that. Just as it says in 1 Corinthians 12, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of services, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So again, no matter whatever traditions you may have heard over the years, just like the title says, ladies, you're involved and in with us along with this path. You are the church as much as any man is. There is no exclusion. Women were never meant to sit on the sidelines and have all the men do the work. We are all the church. If you exclude women, that you exclude half of the population of the church. Why would you do that? Why would God do that? But again, what about scriptures like we just started off with? What about the one that I was joking around about? Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Oh my gosh, I'm so tired of hearing about this one. First of all, this is only talking about within the marriage. This does not ever say, women, no matter who the man is, you must submit to them because they have authority over you. Not one time. This is wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, again, this is very specifically talking about marriage. This does not mean that wives are inferior or to be subservient to their husbands. Okay, this is not a dictatorship type thing. This does not give the husband authority to be the only one that makes the decisions in the household. I have heard this numerous times. It does not mean that he gets to tell his wife what she can and can't do, who she can and can't talk to, what she can and can't dress as, and any other aspect. This has been so misused to the point to where it has been used to the idea that, well, women really shouldn't drive because this is what God says. Women can't own property because God says. This does not give husbands complete and total control over their wives, because that would go against verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Did I skip? Oh, I must have missed that one. Anyways, just listen to me. Listen. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. What this is saying is, yes, within a marriage, there is a spiritual leadership that is given to husbands that wives are to submit to, because it's a husband's responsibility to lead within the marriage, not with tyranny, but with the same love that Christ has for the church, which is servant-driven and self-sacrificing. The way Christ loved the church is, he said, I have not come to be served, but to serve. It never, ever makes women or wives inferior to men. There is a particular leadership, but this does not mean that that marriage is not a partnership, because ultimately marriage is the picture of a relationship that Christ has with his church, which is called his bride, and that is one of the main points that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 5. And again, as you can see, because I skipped it, what about this one? 1 Timothy 2:12, I don't permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be silent. Women, shut up. Just kidding.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Again, this has been used over and over and over again to limit women's roles within the church. A lot of traditions and denominations have used this verse to exclude women in leadership, because women should not have authority over men and are to remain silent. This looks like what it says. Obviously, we are not one of those traditions, because our denomination was founded by a woman, and that would be really hypocritical for us to say that women can't speak or have authority. But what does that mean? Because on the surface, it looks like the four-square church goes against the Bible, right? Can't have women in leadership. They're not allowed to talk during church. That's on the surface level. But if you take the context and realize Paul never meant what others have taken it to mean, because Paul himself would be a hypocrite if this is what he wrote, and that is what he meant, because he supported and celebrated prominent women in leadership as fellow workers of the faith. There's Euda and Syntyche, who Paul said in Philippians 4:3, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Okay, these two women, Paul doesn't say, help them out because, well, they bake some cookies for the men going out there and performing the works of the gospel. He specifically says that they labored with him doing the works of the gospel, to spread the gospel. There's Lydia, a prominent businesswoman in Philippi, who opened her home to Paul and the burgeoning church there. She was a businesswoman. She was she dealt in dyeing fabrics purple, which means she was very prominent. She had her own household. As a matter of fact, when Paul preaches the gospel, it says that she and her household were then baptized. It doesn't say that she and her whole husband's household. She had her own household. She had leadership, she had prominence, and she had authority to have her whole household be baptized. There's also Phoebe and Priscilla and Priscilla, who started a church with her husband in their home. And then there's Junia, who Paul himself even describes her as a prominent among the apostles. That certainly sounds pretty authoritative. Not to mention that if women aren't allowed to have authority over men, this contradicts God himself when he elevates Deborah as a judge in Judges chapter 4. And God does not contradict himself. So then what is 1 Timothy 2 all about? Well, within context, Paul is talking and speaking to a very specific group of women and a very specific church, which is Ephesus. See, here's the thing. The prominent religion in Ephesus is the Artemis cult, which elevates women above men, claiming that men came from women, so women are better than men, are meant to have authority and lead before a man. The women of this church use this to automatically have authority within the church because simply they were women. See, just as the reverse happens, just because you're a guy doesn't mean you get to have authority. Just because you're a woman doesn't mean you get to have this particular authority. But the problem is, they were fairly new to the faith and didn't know much about it. So they were preaching and teaching and using authority to preach heresy because they didn't know much about their faith. Again, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. You can't lead and teach things you don't know. Which is why Paul uses the Greek word here for authority for authentain. That is the negative exercise of authority. The King James Version does it a little bit better. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be silent. Within context, it makes sense for Paul to basically be saying, hey, you don't know anything yet, so learn quietly and then you can lead and teach, in other words. It also makes sense for him to point out the story of creation where women came from man by God's design. He's not elevating man. He's not saying that they're better than women. He's pointing out the misandry of the Ephesian culture saying, God created women from men. You are no better or less than man, so chill out. So again, the idea is more knowledge and understanding and the spiritual giftings that the Holy Spirit gives. It is not automatically designed that if you're a man, you have authority simply because of what's in between your legs. There is no difference between man or woman in the church. God never elevates men. There's different aspects to being a man. There's different aspects to being a woman. But at no point is there not a partnership between man and woman within the church. Which is why here we lift up and celebrate and support women in this church in leadership. It is a tradition that's been going on since the beginning of the church itself. That's why we have Pastor Susan, who's the chaplain of the Christian Motorcycles Association. We have Pastor Debbie, who's a chaplain in the Good News Jail and the La Auberge. It's the dementia one, right? We have Pastor Stephanie. We have Pastor Stephanie, who is one of the leading founding pastors of this church. And then, of course, we have Pastor Danielle, who is also the senior pastor of this church. We believe in women in leadership. In my own particular life, I've had women like Pastor Kathy from our previous church, my Aunt Debbie, who led me, guided me, and taught me in the faith. If we excluded them, I would not have been blessed by their teachings, simply because they are women. So ladies, remember, no matter what you've been told or what the world is saying to you, you are created in the image of God, fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you trust, believe, and follow Jesus Christ, you have the same Holy Spirit within you, giving you power to be his witnesses just as much as any man. Because we are both formed by God's hand, we are both equally indwelled with the Holy Spirit that was promised to be poured out to all flesh. So women are as equal workers of the gospel, following God's call on your life, because you are not excluded from anything. Don't think if God is calling you to lead, preach, and teach, you don't go, well, you know, I'm a girl, there's not really that kind of place for me. Every aspect that I have read within scriptures does not include women. The only time women are not included in anything is because the culture has determined to not include women. And as a matter of fact, when Paul says, I don't permit a woman to teach, he's saying, I don't, because of that particular church. God never says for women to not be included in anything. So I say, as equal workers, follow God's call in your life, because you are not excluded from anything, just as Galatians says. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So women, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, just as much as anybody else. And I pointed this out. We're going to pray here in a minute. If the Holy Spirit's here. If the worship team wants to come up. But I point this out because there's so many gender issues. There's so many, like, people who progress into saying different things about gender. And so there's a counteractive of, well, we have to be super traditional. And there's men's and women's roles, which mean women can't do this and women can't do this. And so on and so on and so on. But the godly design is we are all created in God's image. We are all created to worship God, to serve God, to glorify God, and to preach his gospel. And we need to stop worrying about what is in between your legs and just go and worship, glorify, and preach his gospel. Women were never meant to be excluded from anything. Nor would we say that men and women, they're completely and utterly the same and there's no difference. There's different aspects of being a man. There's different aspects of being a woman, because that's the way God just designed us. That's just the way it is. But the fact that we would exclude anybody, men, women, color of your skin, where you come from, your socioeconomic stuff, whatever it is contrary to anything I have read in Scripture. God elevates anyone and everyone he deems necessary to preach or to teach or to lead or evangelize or whatever the case may be. And the only qualifying factor is you believe, accept, and follow Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit gives you the power to do so, because he is the ultimate authority living inside of you. Let's pray. Holy Father, I thank you for your blessings for every woman in this church. I ask you to particularly bless them today, be with them, guide them, strengthen them, help them in whatever aspect you have called them to be. Whatever calling that you have for their lives, help them to hear you. Holy Spirit, fill them to know and understand who you are and what you have for them. Help them to remember that they're not excluded from anything. So if they're called to lead and teach, then Father, help us to submit to your will. Encourage, strengthen, and help them in their calling. I thank you, Father, for this day. I ask you to please be with and bless all the mothers out there. Help them to have a great celebratory day. Bless them and be with them. and guide us and help us to remember that you are the God who formed us. And we all, in turn, worship and give you breath. The breath that you have given us, we use to glorify and worship you. So bless this time in Jesus' holy name. Amen.